broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. Our love is American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to another hour of the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. He's taking care of some business that will lead to even better representation in Washington, D.C., from his home state of Tennessee. It's my pleasure to be in the air chair today, coming to you from my home base at the 50,000-watt flamethrower and Iowa's exclusive home to the Todd Starnes Show, News Talk 1540 KXEL. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll speak with America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman. We'll talk about why the stock market has been on this roller coaster. What impact does the GDP have on what may happen with more CARES Act being passed in Washington, and much more. Jordan Goodman joins us at the bottom of the hour. Your calls also this hour. Go ahead and line up now at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. It was on Valentine's Day 2 years ago that the life of our next guest changed forever. He's Andrew Pollack. He is a parent. Primarily a parent. He's also a businessman, but I'm sure he thinks parent is his number one job. And that was the day, February 14 of 2018, that Andrew Pollack's daughter Meadow was killed as part of that attack on the Parkland school. Since then, he's dedicated his life in her memory to making schools safer, and that includes founding the nonprofit CLASS, Americans for Children's Lives and School Safety, and he has a new project that carries on this work. Mr. Pollack, good to talk to you again. Jeff Stein in for Todd Starnes on the Nationwide Todd Starnes Show. How are you today?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. We're doing all right. Everything's pretty good. How's things with you?
Well, you know, where I'm at in Iowa, I could use a little bit more rain, but it's okay. We'll make it through.
Yeah.
Talk if you will. And by the way, if I saw this right on Twitter, did your son just graduate from FSU?
Yeah, he just graduated from FSU, and he's going to be heading to law school in the fall. So I'm very proud of him because he was never a student, ever, and he actually turned himself around, and he picked the path of being the righteous son, you know, righteous son, and he put his mind into schoolwork, and he became a great young man, and he got accepted into law school coming in this fall, so I'm very proud of him.
Well, you should be, and having gone through that law school road, that's not an easy path to take, and it sounds like he's properly motivated for it all, so congratulations to the family for having that diploma now to hang on the wall. Talk, if you would, about the things that you hear going on these days. And with regard to, for example, we hear a lot of people say we should get the police out of the schools. What are your thoughts when you hear somebody say we need to get police out of the schools?
I think of people that are mentally challenged to think that would be a good idea, not to have police in schools. You know, I would say to a, you know, I try and just deal with parents now. I try and stay away with some of these loons that we call politicians. So I just want to try and educate parents and tell them, listen, before you are registered in any political party, your kids should be coming first. And would you put your child on a plane if there was no security, or would you go to a sporting event with thousands of people there without any security? So how could it be a good idea to put your child in a school with no security? And, you know, it's not even, it's facts. You know, we put this MSD commission, the governor put a commission together to look into all the facts of the failures that happened when my daughter was murdered. And one of the findings was they needed more law enforcement and teachers that could be armed. And they made that the law in Florida now. You know, it's a law in Florida that there has to be an armed security in every school, in every public school in the state. So no matter what these liberal loons do with the teachers' union, state senators that are Democrats, there's nothing they could do in the state of Florida to remove law enforcement from police, from school districts. So that's something that I accomplished after my daughter was murdered. And now I'm moving into the technology sector, because there were so many failures, Jeff, that got my daughter murdered and those other 16 people that needed to be addressed. And with this new software that I have out, that anyone could go look at it, it's at schoolsafetygrant.org. I looked into failures, and we put this into this technology, and we're offering it to police departments throughout the country. So if you're anyone in law enforcement, please go on my website, look at schoolsafetygrant.org, and it's only a couple of page application for my grant. And we want to help, you know, in these times of defunding the police, I'm pushing this now because this anti-rhetoric police, I can't deal with it. And I'm here to support police and law enforcement. So I want to go on my website, sign up for my grant, and let me give you these tools to help you be more efficient in your response time.
I'm looking at it right now, schoolsafetygrant.org. It seems just ludicrous, and you obviously have a much more personal connection than I ever would, but there's a reason why officers were put in the schools to begin with, and apparently these people who want to be opportunistic forget that there was a reason we needed them there to begin with, and it certainly hasn't gotten any better with the passage of time, has it?
No, this is, you know, law enforcement in the schools are a good thing for children. You know, I've dealt with law enforcement throughout the country, and if anyone should be biased, it's me. Nine of them didn't go in the building and let my daughter get murdered that day, right? But I don't hold those cowards accountable for every man and woman that puts on a uniform every day. You know, I respect law enforcement. Most law enforcement, when they're in schools, they want to mentor these kids that are problem kids. They want to point them in the right direction, you know. So that's why we need law enforcement in schools for such, and the deterrent that they are just being there. Most likely, your children are going to be safe. But with, you know, so Jeff, with this technology, I looked at the failures, and I'd like to go over, because not only law enforcement could apply for my grant, it's for schools, it's for churches, temples, mosques. Could all apply for this, and what it does, I'll try and, it does so much, but, and it's hard to discuss so much of it on a radio show, sure. But I could give you it in a nutshell. So say there is a 911 situation in any of those, either a hospital or school, 911, you'll be able to hit an app on your phone or a live panic button in the building, and it'll pop up in the command center at the sheriff's department or police. Within 5 seconds, the dispatcher will see every camera located in that building. Not only is it show the camera, because sometimes if a dispatcher is looking at a camera and on that monitor there's 30, could be 30 little cameras on one big monitor showing it, they don't know where to send the first responder. My software is linked to a mapping system, so when they mouse on the camera where the incident is, it'll blank up on the map, showing the first responders exactly where to go. We did that because if you speak with a lot of first responders, if they're in a building when there's shots being fired, there's echoes, and it's hard to find exactly where the shooter is. So that's one of the things, the linking of the map with the cameras that I worked on. Next is, we're able to open and unlock and lock doors from the dispatch, right from the police department. So that saves minutes off of response time. We're able to, what was very important to me also, you see, my daughter, Jeff, was on the third floor, mm-hmm. and the teacher, the fire alarm went off. 90 rounds went off in the building, you know, and they're loud rounds. So when those 90 rounds went off, it set off the fire alarm from the smoke, from the gun, and the dust. My daughter's teacher, with the IQ of a squirrel, put my daughter out into the hallway where she was shot 9 times in that hall because of the fire alarm going off. You know what I mean? She said, okay, 90 rounds are going off, but let's put Meadow Pollock out in the hallway anyway. So when my daughter went out there, she was murdered. So we also have the ability from dispatch now to silence a fire alarm, because a lot of times these evil people, they'll pull the fire alarm to get everyone coming out into the hallways or, you know, out into a lobby. Right. So we could silence the fire alarm. And we also gave the dispatcher the ability to talk over a PA system inside the building. So if it's a false narrative, they could, like a fire alarm going off, they could tell the students or the congregation, listen, this is not a fire. Go back into your building, go back into your rooms. So it was very important to me.
You know, when you talk about this, it just makes almost too much sense, right? Because, again, they are indoctrinated, the teachers, oh, there's a fire alarm, let's all go in the hallway, and that truly is the worst possible thing in a situation like this. And so with what you have worked for and what you folks have developed with schoolsafetygrant.org, this is the opportunity for, if you will, common sense to prevail, and you're making this available through these grants, and that is very clearly going to be necessary as we get to this very new world out there, not only because of the pandemic, but also because of this anti-police narrative. This seems to be a very important tool for those who are right-thinking in the schools.
Yeah, it makes the police so much more efficient. You know, yeah. I'm not a security guy, but I worked on it with the security team. And when we get it implemented in a sheriff's office or a police precinct, and to hear them tell me how amazing it is, it's truly emotional for me to see it in action. You know, the police chief in Coral Springs PD, those were the police that showed up that day and actually went through, they passed the sheriff's department and breached the building looking for the shooter. So we got them off. My first grant went to that police department, and that chief told me his exact words. He says, Andy, this took my department from responding in a rowboat to a spaceship. That's how much it speeds it up. And another thing we did was, a lot of times when police are responding, they go to an incident and they'll be looking at cameras. And what happened with my daughter was, someone rewound the camera, Jeff. So when they were looking at it inside the school at the cameras, they were looking at something 30 minutes delayed already. The shooter was down the street at Walmart drinking a soda, a Coke, while when they were looking at the camera, they thought he was on the second floor. So no one reached my daughter for over 40 minutes that day while she laid on the floor. And that just, to this day, kills me and haunts me that's how they responded. So with my software, I don't allow any rewind from dispatch. They don't have the ability to rewind. Everything is real time every time they're looking at the camera. So I can't have any human error what happened with my daughter.
It's amazing the way you have taken this tragedy, this unnecessary tragedy, and you have focused all of your energy toward making sure it doesn't happen to others. And I applaud you for being brave enough to continue speaking about this, because it is a pain that never goes away, I'm sure. And now through schoolsafetygrant.org, there's the chance to make sure it doesn't happen again. Mr. Pollock, thank you so much for taking the time. It's always a privilege to talk to you, and keep speaking out if you would, sir.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, and I hope your audience goes out and looks what I have to offer. Even if you're at a church, a temple, we could help you in those areas too. Any soft targets. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you. Andrew Pollock, whose daughter Meadow was killed in the Parkland shooting. Schoolsafetygrant.org is the website. And again, right there on the main page, if you're a student, teacher, or a parent, You can apply, you can nominate an entity if you're a law enforcement official. And again, it's not just schools, but this is, as they say on the website, life-saving technology. And again, to channel his energy into every day working to make sure that his daughter's loss was not in vain. That is, I don't have children. I can't imagine what he must be going through on a daily basis. And again, for his son Hunter to graduate from college, a wonderful experience. And again, you gather for a family picture and someone's not there. Oh, that just must be devastating. And so to make sure that doesn't happen to others, he is devoting his energies toward these prevention efforts that are just common sense, but we don't have enough of common sense these days. Andrew Pollack, Andrew Pollack FL on the Twitter machine, if you like. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. We'll take your calls in the next segment. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd. Good work on your part. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Still struck by how someone like Andrew Pollack can experience what he did with the loss of a daughter in a school shooting and stay so focused. And yet you can tell the emotion. So good to hear him just now on the radio. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. And as always, the phone number is 844-747-8868. When we come back in the next segment, we'll be talking about all things money with America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman. He's online at moneyanswers.com if you want to take a look at some of the offerings he has there. This has been a very strange time of late. Usually the wisdom is stocks go up, bonds go down, bonds go up, stocks go down. Not the case this time. We have precious metals that are going through the roof. We have Congress trying to decide how many more trillions of dollars to inject into the U.S. economy. And what difference does it make that the most recent GDP, Gross Domestic Product Report, showed this cratering in GDP? Is that the kind of thing that's going to scare the folks into Washington into pumping more money we don't have into the system? We'll find out when we talk with Jordan Goodman coming up in just a few moments. If you're listening to this program on the stream at toddstarnes.com, or if your station across the country carries all 3 hours, coming up in our next hour, from the Republican National Committee, spokesperson Elizabeth Harrington will be on the program. Always fun to talk with Liz Harrington. And then also coming up in the next hour, just a little more than an hour away from right now, Diamond and Silk return to the Todd Starnes Show. Again, I've had the pleasure of speaking with the ladies on my program in Iowa. It's always a good time. So settle back, get another cup of coffee, adjust the seatbelt. We've got a lot to go. Jeff Stein in for Todd. And this is the Todd Starnes Show. With the National Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's taking care of showing some dignitaries around his home city of Memphis, his home base at the mighty 990 KWAM. You're listening nationwide on all sorts of radio stations and also streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Joining us now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is America's Money Answers man. He's Jordan Goodman. He's online at moneyanswers.com. And when I want to know what's going on with markets and with policy, no one better. Jordan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
All right, so before the break, I sort of set things up by suggesting that this is a unique time. Talk, if you will, about precious metals, first of all. I mean, we're seeing some things going on here that just don't seem to track in terms of the normal course of things in comparison to markets and such. Explain this, please.
Well, gold's up to almost $2,000 an ounce, which is an all-time record high. Silver's up to about $24 an ounce. And for several reasons. First of all, the central banks around the world, including the Federal Reserve, are pouring money into the economy, printing money, and creating it out of thin air, basically. And it's not only the central bank here, but European Central Bank, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Australian, the Indian, every central bank around the world is just printing lots of money. So you have more paper money out there. The amount of gold is pretty much the same, so you're devaluing paper currency is going down in value, and hard assets go up in value. So, and people kind of climb on board and want a secure place for their money. So that's why you're having gold go up so dramatically here. So there's different ways to play it, Jeff. You can certainly do physical gold and silver coins. I have a bunch of resources at my website, moneyanswers.com. One of them is called Hard Assets Alliance. It's a way to actually buy physical gold coins and bars with competitive prices. Have it delivered to you at home. So that's certainly one way to do it. A second way to do it would be exchange-traded funds, ETFs, where you have physical gold and silver backing the ETFs. The one for gold is GLD. The one for silver is SLV. So that's a pure play on gold and silver. It's a stock that you can buy and sell whenever you like. And then the third, more aggressive way to do it is the gold mining shares, which is the companies that buy that mine the gold. And they are more volatile than gold and silver itself. When gold goes up, they go up more. When gold goes down, they go down more. And lately, they've been going up a lot more because they've got a leverage to the price of gold. So, for example, say your cost of producing an ounce of gold is $1,100. And 2 months ago, you were getting $1,500 an ounce, and now you're getting $2,000 an ounce. Your costs haven't really changed much. But your profit goes up dramatically because all that gain in the price of gold is pure profit to you. So that's why their profits shoot up so dramatically in these kind of environments. So the exchange-traded fund for all of the gold mining shares is GDX. That's the one that's got all the big companies. And then there's one called GDXJ, which is the junior mining companies, which are even more aggressive. They probably even haven't found gold yet. So those are some of the ways to play gold, and I think it's got a lot of room to roll here.
Is it because people have uncertainty about the dollar and all these trillions of dollars being spent by the U.S. government, uncertain times, or what do you think is driving this?
Well, yeah, both on the fiscal and monetary side, there's no discipline whatsoever. On the monetary side, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet has gone, at the beginning of this year, about $4 trillion, and now it's about $8 trillion, and it's going to end the year at $12 trillion, you know, give or take a few hundred billion here or there. You know, I mean, who notices? That's a lot of money that's being printed.
What's a few hundred billion among friends, right?
Something like that. But I mean, that's the scale of what we're talking about. This has never been done before in history to create this much money this quickly. Nothing even close. And the same thing's going on around the world as well. So in the long run, this should create inflation. When you have more money being created and the same amount of goods, if not fewer goods, being created, that creates inflation, and gold is a very sensitive indicator to that. So that's why gold has gone up so dramatically here.
Jordan Goodman joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. He's America's Money Answers man, and that's why his website is moneyanswers.com. Explain the interrelationship, if there is any, between the report recently about the GDP and why that might lead some folks in Washington to take action with another infusion, another CARES Act, that they might not have before. Is this going to be something that report, in other words, pushes them towards some kind of action they'd been hesitating to take?
It should have. It hasn't yet. No. They had a meeting over the weekend between Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, and Mark Meadows, the Chief of Staff. They talked, but they said they're not that close together. I mean, they're still pretty far apart on these things. And it's now expired. The CARES Act ran out on Friday, July 31st. Mm-hmm. So the extra $600 a week benefit for unemployment is gone. The moratorium on foreclosures and evictions is gone. For the most part, the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, I think formally runs out August 8th, but you know that's pretty much gone as well. Sure. And all the things that were in that act, which kept the economy going and kept people alive, literally, are gone at the moment. So we're in a bit of a no man's land here. And my understanding is that Congress may go on recess in August. They may or may not. They may bring them back to do this thing. But the economy, if let's put it this way, Jeff, if there's no more CARES Act, if they cannot agree, the economy falls off a cliff. I mean, it's just clear. This is what's been keeping the economy going, is that $600, which is people get it and they spend it. That's what they've been using for food and, you know, basic necessities. And if they don't get that, a lot of people are really going to be hurt, and you're going to have a massive amount of foreclosures on people who can't pay their mortgages and evictions of people who can't pay their rent. It's that dramatic.
You and I have talked about this on my program in Iowa, but let's elaborate for the national audience just to put a very fine point on it. Why is it the federal government's responsibility? The short of it is, your city, your state, they can't just print money, and the feds can.
And that's what they're doing. As I said, the Federal Reserve is printing money, mm-hmm. and the federal government is borrowing money at a huge amount. The deficit for this year, which ends September 30th, is probably going to be in the $5 to $6 trillion range. The deficit, I mean, that's double what we've ever had before. I mean, the biggest deficit we've ever had before has been about $1 trillion. So this will be 5 to 6 times the amount of deficit we've ever had before. They can print money at the Federal Reserve, and they can borrow money at the federal government. Most states and municipalities, by law, have to balance their budgets every year. And they're not able to do so when their revenues have plummeted. They're getting less in sales tax and less in all their revenue sources. And their expenses have soared for health care, for EMT, for security, for all kinds of things that they've had to do in the past. And they've been counting on the federal government to bail them out. The $3 trillion CARES Act revival, I guess you might say, that the House Democrats passed 2 months ago has about $1 trillion in it for states and municipalities. The Senate version has none. So that's a pretty big difference right there.
Well, yes, that is quite a difference, and that suggests part of the problem with all of this. Obviously, politics plays a major, major role in this. Do you have a sense, just based upon what you're hearing, that they're going to have to go on a break so that the voters can give them a good talking to before anything will get done? In other words, do they have to leave the cocoon in Washington to hear what
really... I think they know that people are going to be very mad at them, very, okay. very, very mad at them mm-hmm. if they don't do anything, because small businesses are going to be failing. People getting evicted from their homes, they're not going to be very happy. I mean, this is going to be a political disaster for them as well. And they're talking about doing a skinny bill, which is like just the unemployment part. Right. Even the unemployment part, the Democrats want to continue the $600 a month, a week supplement. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans are talking about maybe $200 a week supplement, because they're saying that if at $600, it's too much of an incentive not to go back to work. Well, a lot of these people, like the vast majority of them, would love to go back to work, but there's no work to go back to when your business has failed and, you know, there's just no work to do. So at $200, even if you get $200, that's not going to be enough for most people to just survive. And I think the next step, which will get the politicians' attention, is mass riots in the streets, social unrest. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are not going to, you've already seen that to some extent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people get desperate when these kind of things happen. If you get evicted from your home and you've been foreclosed on, you have no income, you don't have a lot to lose, okay? And this is where social unrest can come in, on top of what's already been happening in the Black Lives Matter and all that.
And, again, this $600 a week that expired last Friday, that was in addition to whatever a state might give. And I think over the weekend, the Republicans were saying, all right, we'll go with you on the $600 if you just get the skinny bill passed. Well, of course, that didn't meet with any approval from Democrats. And so we just keep circling and circling and circling. Jordan Goodman, financial journalist, America's Money Answers man, moneyanswers.com. So this has been kind of a depressing conversation, frankly, my friend. But
the stock market's soaring.
There's the bright side. So why? Why is it with all of this gloom and doom that we've just elaborated, why are stocks doing so well?
Well, several reasons. First of all, the companies are doing very well. So, for example, today the leader clearly has been Apple, which is getting up to about $1.8, $1.9 trillion. It's almost going to be the first $2 trillion company. Microsoft looks like it's going to buy TikTok, which would be a great deal for them because they're really not in social media. This would give them an instant platform in social media they haven't had. Amazon is hiring people like crazy, and they're basically taking over from Main Street retailers. We had another one, Lord & Taylor, went bankrupt today, for example. Mm-hmm. So there are companies, particularly the big tech companies, that are really benefiting from this environment while others are getting hurt. So the stock, not all stocks are going up, but the big tech stocks are going up because they're benefiting from the situation.
And what was it, Joseph A. Bank, Men's Warehouse, that parent company also filed for bankruptcy
right.
because of the fact that there are a lot of people working from home. You don't
They're not
need
buying
to
suits.
You don't need to dress up. I'm still coming to work in a shirt and tie, but a lot of people aren't. And so, again, that's just changing the whole dynamic.
It is.
How much of that's going to be permanent?
Most of it. Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to work from home long term. Google said all of its workers should work expect to work from home for at least the next year. Twitter says permanently. You can never have to come into the office again. You can work permanently from home. So people are moving out of San Francisco, where the headquarters are, to Arizona and Oregon and Nevada and all kinds of places because they never have to show up at work again. So this is happening all over the place. So this has profound implications, for example, for commercial real estate. People with office buildings are not too happy right now that people aren't in the office and are not valuing the offices they did before. And employers are saying, hey, you know, things are working pretty well here. Maybe we don't need to have all this expensive office space. We can run the New York Stock Exchange without having the floor open. How about that? And it's working perfectly fine since it was closed. The floor is closed in March. So this is a fundamental reshifting of how people view the way the economy is working.
Now, I have come to work every day at the radio station where I'm at in Iowa. We sent others away. Salespeople could do things remotely. I could have worked from home. We had it set up, but it works much better to be here, and I was able to do it safely. But again, to your point about some of these folks that have thousands of square feet rented,
right?
They're under a lease, and so they're going to have to pay that out, but they're sure not going to renew at that amount. And so we may not know the impact, or we won't know the impact, for several months with regard to that commercial real estate.
Well, some of them are not paying now. I mean, oh, maybe
well,
the
then
big companies
that.
Are.
Yeah.
It's like on the residential side. I mean, if these companies are... Lord & Taylor, you know, is probably not going to pay a lot of rent as it goes bankrupt. And all the other JCPenney and... J. Crew and Neiman Marcus. I don't want to get you too depressed with all these companies, but these are big companies that lease a lot of space, and they're not going to be renewing their leases.
And one of the things that we've noticed is that a lot of retail stores have announced, we're not going to open on Thanksgiving. We'll have our Black Friday, if we can still call it that. We'll have our Black Friday sales, but we'd really love for you to go to the .com. Well, that's great for the company, not great for the brick-and-mortar store.
Right. So this is a fundamental reshaping of real estate in this country. And commercial real estate's been a big, strong part of it. You have real estate investment trusts, hotels, you know, all these areas that people are reconsidering whether this amount of space. And think of new construction. There's not going to be any in the commercial real estate area. There's no need. We have plenty of offices now, and that's going to be shrinking as it is. So it has a multiplier effect. It's not just right now, but... think of the future that was going to be planned. That why are you going to be building a commercial office building anywhere today under the current circumstances?
MoneyAnswers.com has a variety of resources, as you suggested. Give folks who are not aware of it what they might find when they go there.
Yeah, well, I've got loads of resources. There are great opportunities, as we talked about here, Jeff, to do things better. So I've got about 150 different affiliates in every area, getting health insurance and real estate and mortgages and credit cards and everything you can imagine. I do a weekly what's called the Money Answers Week in Review about whatever happened that week. I do what's called the Money Answers Minute, a topic on various areas. And I take emails. I get emails from your listeners at your Iowa station. Love to get them from all over the country at MoneyAnswers.com.
You're the best, as I said before. Jordan, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
He's America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman, joining us on the Liberty University Newsmakers line, moneyanswers.com. It's kind of depressing to talk about all of these businesses that are not doing well. Some of it, of course, and this is me as a lawyer talking, some of them are filing for bankruptcy simply because it does allow them to restructure. But we're seeing some of these businesses, they took bankruptcy. I'm thinking of Remington, for example, right? Took bankruptcy a couple of years ago, now have to do it again. And at some point, you just have to give it up. And that is changing the business landscape, the retail landscape, the real estate landscape, and how many of you are buying as much as you can online. Well, that's changing everything, isn't it? 844-747-8868. That hasn't changed. That's the way you can connect with this coast-to-coast conversation on the Todd Starn Show. One more time, that's 844-747-8868. Come on in. The water's fine. Love to talk to you in our next segment. I'm Jeff Stein from News Talk 1540 KXEL, Iowa's exclusive home to the Todd Starn Show. I'm filling in for Todd today. And again, you are listening to the Todd Starn Show.
You're with Todd Starn.
This is the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on a Monday. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. If your local radio station carries the next hour of the program, then you'll hear me speak with spokesperson from the Republican National Committee, Liz Harrington, and also next hour, Diamond and Silk back on the program. I have spoken with each of those individuals on my local program in Iowa and looking forward to continuing the conversation here coast to coast with Starn's Nation. And if your local radio station you're listening to right now does not carry the third hour, just go to toddstarns.com. You can listen to the live stream, or you can listen after the program is over on your schedule. Again, it's toddstarns.com. You can follow Todd on the Twitter machine at Todd Starns. I'm there at Iowa Politics. 844-747-8868. We'll have time in the next hour to take your calls. Would love to hear what is on your mind. That's one of the things the program I do at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Iowa is an interview program. I don't get to talk to folks on the phone, so help me out. 844-747-8868. Thanks so much to Todd for letting me drive the bus today. I'm Jeff Stein, and you're listening to the Todd Starn Show.